You're listening to BadMovies.org Radio. I'm your host, Andrew. This week, I have a movie review, and it's for The Diamonds of Kilimanjaro. To start off, I sat down to watch it without looking at the box at all, which is something I frequently do. And we watched about 10 minutes of this movie, and we is a loose statement because Katie did what she normally does when I watch bad movies, which is she pulls her laptop out and plays some online games. But anyway, I watch about 10 minutes of this movie, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, is a monkey. And the monkey sits there for a good 15, 20 seconds. Enough time for me to go, okay, why the monkey? And then it's gone. And that's it. It was just an establishing shot. They're in the jungle, and there's got to be a monkey. So I look over at Kate, and I ask her, is this a Jess Franco film? And she goes, I don't know. I said, well, you're online. Look it up on IMDb. She rolls her eyes at me, but she pulls it up and answers, well, it's a Jesus Franco. Is that the same guy? I look at my wife. Yeah, it's the same guy. The reason this came up, that I suspected it was a Jess Franco film, is because he has another movie called Oasis of the Zombies. And it has the same sort of shot, but with a spider. They're in the desert. All of a sudden, bam, there's a spider in its web. And it sits there for like 15 seconds, long enough for you to wonder, what's up with the spider? And then it's gone. And they do that once or twice more, but they never explain it. It's just spider in its web. They're in the desert. And it's the same thing with a monkey. They're in the jungle. Here's a monkey. Okay, great. In any case, if you're watching a movie and all of a sudden there's some shot that lasts 10, 15, 20 seconds, which is longer than it probably should have, and you're wondering what the heck is up with this shot, why did I have to see this, start suspecting Mr. Franco. And he goes under a lot of aliases. The movie starts with a small plane crashing in the jungle, and an older guy who's either Scottish or a golfer, or perhaps both, crawls out and drags a young woman out with him. Because they fell out of the sky and they're white, the tribesmen that find them immediately start worshiping them as gods. From there, we jump forward a bunch of years, and the Scottish guy has gotten old, but he's still Scottish, and he's the big white chief. And the girl, whose name is Diana, she's the white jungle goddess. Her main job is lounging around in trees without any top on. Her second job is preventing the natives from killing any of the white people who stumble into their territory. Eventually, this news gets back to Diana's mother, who hires a bunch of men to go looking for her lost daughter. Along for the ride is an older man who is either Diana's cousin or her uncle. It changes during the course of the movie. Early on, Diana's mother says that he's her nephew, which is odd because they look the same age. But later on, he's referred to as her uncle. So, I don't know. The uncle has a girlfriend, or wife, I'm not really certain which, who tags along for the whole thing. She troubled me because I saw her naked several times, and she has this weird thing going on with her bikini area. Her hips, her thighs, and even her crotch all look like they belong on a Lego person. I mean, they are square. I'm looking at this woman, thinking to myself, how is that ergonomic? The leader of the expedition is this big guy named Rofo, and he's pretty abrasive, but he's probably my second favorite character in the movie, after Diana, because Diana tends to run around topless in the jungle, which doesn't seem like a good idea, because she's likely to get a nipple or something else hung up on a branch. Before I get sidetracked talking about why a woman should not run through the jungles of Africa topless, I want you to listen to Rofo so you understand why I say he's a little abrasive.
Before I decide to join up with you, one thing's got to be crystal clear as of right now. We can't have three bosses and I'm the best qualified. We're taking my route, my way. Any objections?
Will you give us a minute to talk it over?
Sure.
What's the talk over? I trust him.
We just talked it over. You're on your terms.
Good. Good. I like that. Did you hear that, Pereira? How about you, Peyton?
Oh, I'm sure everyone heard you, my dear Mr. Rofo.
That's settled.
So that's Rofo. He's the only person in the whole expedition who actually wants to bring Diana back to her mother. Everyone else either does not want to find her, or if they do find her, they want to lose her on the way back to civilization so they can keep the family fortune. Oh, and the one really Weasley tracker, he starts banging Miss Lego crotch. Diana doesn't want to be rescued. She's quite happy to be the white goddess of the jungle. So the people looking for her have a problem. They wander around on the ground while she sits up in a tree and watches them. The real problem is the natives have this priestess, and all she ever does is run into the village, scream some stuff in some native language, and get them all riled up so they go out and kill people.
Yo me kala ya. Oh.
Na. What are
we? Wait.
Do you know who the natives kill early on? It's not the Weasley tracker. It's not the sleazy uncle. It's not even Mrs. I've Got Blocks for Booty. No, it's Rofo. He takes a poison arrow in the back and stumbles out of the film, never to be seen again. Following that, guess who finally meets up with Diana, the jungle girl? That's right, the Weasley tracker. Because she saw the tracker and Lego Crotch Girl having sex, she decides, maybe it's about time I started doing that, and she starts coming on to him. And at first, he's completely oblivious. He's more interested in eating the watermelon she gave him than the fact that this young woman is throwing herself at him.
What I don't understand is how she could make love with you when she is somebody else's woman.
Because she's civilized.
Here, when two men want the same woman, they fight for her. Or maybe her husband would kill her. Being civilized doesn't mean you can make love with everybody.
Eat your watermelon.
He has to be the densest guy on earth. However, eventually he gets it, and then she gets it. From him. Which is one of the reasons I keep saying the world is an incredibly unfair place. Not that any of this matters. The priestess incites the tribe again. They kill the Weasley tracker. They kill the uncle. They kill the slutty girlfriend. And Diana and her godfather, that's the Scotsman, are left exactly where they were at the beginning of the film. Unless you're some sort of weird completist and want to see every single jungle exploitation film ever made, this is probably not worth your time. I happened to get it as part of a 3-disc set along with the movie I was really after, which is Golden Temple Amazons. Golden Temple Amazons is better than Diamonds of Kilimanjaro, and that's not saying much. Things to watch for in this movie. I'm not even going to try to count the number of breast shots, because if Diana's on the screen, if the tribal priestess is on the screen, or quite often when Little Miss Lego Crotch is on the screen, there are bare breasts. Look for the scene with the monkey, because for some reason we were supposed to look at that monkey, and there's that monkey. Another good scene to watch for is when Diana's uncle, or cousin, or whatever he is, finally meets the old Scottish man. As a peace offering, he brings the old man a bottle of scotch. One moment it's one bottle, and then it changes and it's a completely different bottle. Things I learned from this movie. Accepting the position of tuberculosis poster girl is lucrative, but overall, a bad choice. Diamonds are often found inside of geodes. Onomatopoeia is just another word for sex. Remote African tribes have mastered the art of crimping. A trademark of civilization is infidelity. That's it for this broadcast, but I'll put a link in the notes so that you can read the review. And thanks for listening to BadMovies.org Radio.